Letters.
On Joe Biden, a Palestinian state, rising seas, Willie Mays, and working late.
Backing Joe Biden.
From ACW Bethel, Vista, California. Presidential effectiveness is not measured by televised debates. Presidents govern by making decisions after thorough preparation and detailed consultations with their advisers. In questioning Joe Biden's candidacy, you offer no reason for doubting his ability to make good decisions. Article No Way to Run a Country, July 6. You do think, however, that political infighting among Democrats over a potential replacement would somehow settle on a better candidate, who would have a stronger chance of defeating Donald Trump, and who would make better decisions than Mr. Biden. That is a long shot. Political infighting would divide the Democrats, not unite them, and no other plausible candidate has anything like Mr. Biden's record of accomplishment in a challenging time. The fact that the president was tired and stumbled over some words in a television debate is irrelevant.
From Dr. James Wilson, Professor of Economics, retired, Guelph, Canada. Enough already. The lopsided media frenzy over Mr. Biden's gaffes during the debate is beginning to chafe. I am aware of his shortcomings. I agreed with your Lexington columnist almost 2 years ago, article November 12, 2022, that Mr. Biden should consider standing aside and groom a successor. That is unlikely to happen. So it is time to choose a side. There is too much at stake to dither. The choice should be a no-brainer. You either choose the president, who has his senior moments and a stutter, but is vastly experienced and helped the economy to recover. Or you can choose Mr. Trump, who also has senior moments, speaks utter gibberish, has no policies, does not understand economics, and is a convicted felon, sexual predator, and wannabe dictator.
From Stephen Ruger, Baltimore. Mr. Trump gave a speech musing on whether to be electrocuted by a boat or eaten by a shark. But the Economist has yet to write a leader about his obvious mental decline. Why the double standard?
From Ruth Dell, Tiburon, California. Last week's cover image, July 6th, depicted a Walker frame adorned with the presidential seal. The issue with Mr. Biden has nothing to do with his walking. It has to do with whether cognitive decline impedes his ability to serve effectively. Many people who use walkers are not even elderly, and their mental acuity is fine. Franklin Roosevelt was one of America's greatest presidents, and he could not walk. Hopefully, if he was running today, FDR would not need to hide his disability.
A demilitarized Palestine.
From Mark Moody Stewart, Hassocks, West Sussex. Article Can Chaos Be Turned Into Country, June 22nd, was both hopeful and depressing regarding a future Palestinian state. It is clear that there can be no end to the fighting until there is a clear vision of what peace would offer. Yet a lack of trust on both sides prevents this. The article quotes a poll that only 26% of Israeli adults believe that Israel could coexist with a Palestinian state. The Israeli fear that a Palestinian state could be a source of future drone and rocket attacks is understandable. On the other hand, Palestinians who see an occupied West Bank increasingly eroded by illegal settlements and targeted by drone and airstrikes are increasingly more likely to see armed resistance as the only alternative. Without a future vision acceptable to both sides, the downward spiral continues. Is such a vision possible? 7 years ago, I heard senior officials in the Palestinian Authority declare that a future Palestinian state could be demilitarized and disarmed, provided border security was guaranteed by an international force of some kind, and that after an initial transition, it did not include Israeli forces. Would such a solution be acceptable to the population of the West Bank and Gaza more widely? Could it in time assuage the Israeli fears of attacks from a future Palestinian state? Surely it is worth a serious diplomatic push. After all, UN forces have maintained tense borders elsewhere successfully for decades. If the idea of a demilitarized Palestinian state could breathe some life into the two-state solution, attention could turn to the illegal settlements in Area C of the Oslo Accord. It is worth at least a try.
The problem with landfill.
From Spencer Rankin, Glen Cove, New York. Your article about megacities on Africa's west coast being swamped by rising seas mentioned the problem of land subsidence in Lagos. Article Sunk Costs, June 29th. Subsidence rates are highest near coastal zones, where heavy structures have been built on landfills, highlighting the problem with unregulated development. Without proper engineering, landfill is not suited to support heavy structures. The Dutch have shown for centuries that the world's flooding can be managed by well-engineered solutions. The problem is thus not one of technology, but policy. Managing the rise of sea levels requires sensible urban planning, adequate infrastructure funding, and the enforcement of development rules. Unfortunately, poorer countries will struggle with this.
A sporting legend.
From Michael Mannion, Fairfax, Virginia. Your fine obituary of Willie Mays, article June 29th, noted that many of his baseball records would have been further embellished had it not been for his 2 years of army service. Mays received his draft notice in May 1952, cutting short his season with the Giants. Although the Army had officially been desegregated in 1948, many of its odious Jim Crow policies still lingered. Despite his exceptional baseball record, fine character and ebullient personality, the Army assigned Private Mays to a stevedore company at a little-known military installation in Virginia. It is unclear if or for how long he actually performed the back-breaking work of loading and unloading military vessels. In addition to playing for the baseball team there, Mays served as an athletics instructor and coach. He was discharged from the Army on March 1, 1954, and reported to the Giants for training the following day. He may have missed as many as 260 Major League Baseball games during his Army stint.
The Late Show.
From Brent Syker, Mountain View, California. Is it better to be an early bird or a night owl? Bartleby asks. Article June 8th. In my experience in Silicon Valley, it is those who work late who are praised. One trade magazine opined that cool people work until 7 p.m. The author lost all respect for a colleague who walked out of the office at 5 p.m. I remember one vice president of a division heaping praise on two colleagues for working until 9 p.m. I would think so, I thought. They're never at work before noon. One of them is now a company vice president.